Good morning and welcome to another online Awaken sermon. Today's sermon is called Guard Your Inner Space. And can I just say this up front? I am so excited about this sermon. This is one that I've been thinking about, I've been working on now for a couple of weeks. And let me tell you the story of how this sermon came about. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I keep a running list on my computer of things that inspire me. Whether it be a quote that I run across, a story, a conversation that I have with someone, a movie scene, an idea that I have or that someone mentions to me, I keep this list in my computer in a file called buckets. It's like a bucket and I just dump everything into it. And every now and again, I'll look through this bucket. I'll look at all the notes that I've created in order to see exactly what I have in there. Because there's some notes that have been there for years. And that's the case with the note that inspired this sermon. So when I was looking through this list a couple weeks back, there was one note and it was as if it was jumping out, shouting at me, pick me, pick me. Lights were flashing, sirens were going off. As if it was saying, look at the wisdom that I have to teach you for right now. So this morning, here's what I want to do. I want to give you the quote, then I want to take you to the Bible verse where this quote is rooted in. Then I want to show you, or I want to give you two reasons why you would ever want to, going back to the sermon title, guard your inner space. And then I want to give you three practical ways in which to guard and protect your inner space. So today, pretty straightforward. Let's start with the quote. Now, the quote is from a book called The Divine Dance by Richard Rohr. Read this one a couple years ago when I came across what he says here. I stopped. I had to pause. And I had to just let the depth of what he was saying sink into my soul a little bit. Here's the quote. You must guard and protect your inner space. It's not a long quote, not a full paragraph, one sentence, just about eight words. You must guard and protect your inner space. And then here's what he says. This is precisely where Yahweh says to Israel, I shall come to meet you. Now, this phrase, I shall come to meet you, it is from way early back in the story of the Bible. Exodus chapter 25, actually. And in Exodus 25, let me set the scene for you. The Israelites have just been rescued. They've just been set free from Egypt. They're in the wilderness. God now tells Moses, come up to the mountain, come up to Mount Sinai, and I will give you a whole bunch of laws, ways in which to organize yourselves, some regulations. I will show you how to be the people of God. So Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. All the Israelites, they're left at the base of the mountain. Moses is up here, and the initial conversation, it starts with God giving Moses some instructions. This is the first instruction manual. God tells Moses, hey, I want you to build a tabernacle for me, a dwelling place for me, essentially a movable house, because you're going to be in the wilderness for a while. And whenever you leave one camp and go to another camp, as you're moving around the wilderness, I want to have a temporary, a permanent, I guess you could say a permanent dwelling place with the Israelites. I want this tabernacle to be a symbol of my permanent, ongoing presence that is always there with them. So yes, even though you'll be wandering the wilderness, this tabernacle will serve as a symbol showing that I am traveling with you, that I haven't left you alone. Now in the tabernacle, there's a couple different sections. You can go online, you can see a diagram of all the different sections, all the different parts of the tabernacle. There's very detailed instructions here. In, I guess, kind of towards the back of the tabernacle, so all the way in, there's a place known as the Holy of Holies. It's the most holy place. I call it the inner sanctuary. And in this inner sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies, we have the Ark. And here's where we come to. Exodus 25, we'll start at verse 21. Place the cover, so a big slab, on top of the Ark, and put in the Ark the testimony, which I will give you. A testimony being the stone tablets in which are written the Ten Commandments. Verse 22, there, above the cover, between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Testimony, I will meet with you, and I'll give you all my commands for the Israelites. Where will God meet with Moses? Holy of Holies. The inner sanctuary. The Hebrew, the way in which this sentence is structured, actually implies there will be a divine appointment. There'll be a meeting time. There'll be a particular time when you will enter into the Holy of Holies. And my presence will be there to meet with you, to commune with you, to speak with you, to lead you, guide you, and give you wisdom. Now at this point, it's only Moses who is allowed into the Holy of Holies. As the tabernacle becomes a permanent fixture when the Israelites move into the land, it becomes the temple. It's only the high priest who is able to enter into the Holy of Holies. And for the high priest, he could only enter in once a year on the Day of Atonement. This was a very sacred, holy space. This was the most, you could say, sacred space for the Israelites. Now today, we don't have a tabernacle. We don't have a physical Holy of Holies. Because of Jesus, we know it's not just the high priest who can now go and commune with God. It's not just a man like Moses. We all have access to God. We all have direct access to God. We can all go to God ourselves. And I would argue that the Holy of Holies that existed in the tabernacle, the temple, now resides within each one of us. This inner sanctuary, this holy place is found somewhere within each of us. Some people refer to this as the soul. It's the part of you, you can't map it. You can't dissect your body and pull out the soul and, hey, I found their soul. You can't x-ray it. You can't put it through an MRI tube. You can't describe what it looks like. You can simply feel it. It's a feeling you have within you. It's this sacred, holy space that you carry within you wherever you go. The Israelites in the wilderness, they had a tabernacle symbolizing God's presence with them. The tabernacle, the holy space, it's within you, symbolizing that you are carrying God with you wherever you go. So when Richard Rohr in his book says, you must guard and protect your inner space, this is what he's talking about. That holy space that resides somewhere deep within you. You must guard and protect your inner space. Now, let me give you two reasons why you would even want to guard and protect your inner space. Maybe at this point you're wondering, wait, why would I even want to do this? Who cares? Two reasons. First, this inner space, this Holy of Holies, inner sanctuary, it's where you commune with God. It's where you meet with God. It's how you hear the voice of God. Here's what I know, or here's what I believe about you. You're watching this because you're on a journey. You're on a journey where you want to discover the life that God has for you. You want to discover who God is. You want to be led by the Spirit. Each summer, I normally have a question series. For the question series, I'll always ask the audience, I'll say, hey, what do you want to talk about over the summer? What questions do you have? Is there a Bible verse? Are there certain ideas or topics that you want us to dive into together? Without fail, every single time that I've had a question series, I always get at least one, sometimes more, but at least one question to the extent of, how do you hear God's voice? How do you hear the Spirit? I mean, that's what we want. When we are struggling to make a decision, when we're trying to decide which path do we want to walk in life, which path to walk down, we'll often pray about it. We'll try to ask others. We'll try to get some wisdom from others about it. What we really want is we want to be led by the Spirit. We want to be led down a particular road that leads to life in all of its fullness. The road to joy, to love. And in order to do so, we need that inner space to be guarded and protected so that we can clearly hear from the divine Spirit. So the first reason why is because the inner space, that's where you commune and meet with God. And then let me give you a second reason why. Think about the world that we live in right now. For anyone else, does this world seem a bit chaotic? Is there a certain level of uncertainty, of anxiety? It's true now, but it's true all the time. We live in a chaotic, uncertain, anxious world. My guess is, for you, you want to be a calm, centered, grounded person in a world of anxiety, chaos, and uncertainty. You desire to live from a centered, grounded, peaceful place. I mean, think about people that you've come in contact with. Have you ever come in contact with someone and they're frantic? They're all over the place. Their anxiety, it just bleeds out of their pores. And maybe you don't recognize it at the time. Maybe sometimes you do. But other times you're around them and then you leave. And there's a certain feeling when you leave their presence, like, ooh, like you can breathe again. And you're thinking, well, I didn't realize what they were exuding. But then on the flip side, have you ever been around someone who was just a calm, peaceful presence and you can't get around them enough? You're thinking, how can I spend more time with them? Is there anyone else like this? Because when I'm around them, whew, things just seem to calm down a bit. Things seem to move a bit slower. That's what we all want, to be that peaceful, calm, centered presence in a world that's filled with chaos and anxiety. We want to live from within rather than being bombarded from everything that's out there. In order to live from within, from a place of serenity, a place of life. You know what I'm talking about? We're life, because so often things that we experience, it's like they remove life from us. But if we can have a place, a sacred place within us that fills us with life, and if we live from that place, yeah, isn't that what we all want? So the second reason why you would want to guard and protect your inner space is so that you can live from that place of being grounded and centered. Now, let me give you three ways in which to guard and protect your inner space. So let's talk about listening, the two S's, and then space. First, listening. The first step in guarding and protecting your inner space is to know what you're dealing with. You need to listen to what your soul is speaking. What's your current state? Are there certain things that you need? Are there things that are making you anxious? What are the particular challenges that you're facing? The first step, you need to figure out what it is that's swirling around inside you. Now, for me, There's a practice, and I've talked about this practice many times before. It's the practice of journaling. It has tremendously helped me to listen to what my soul is speaking. If you go into my office, you'll see I have a stack of notebooks that I have filled up with words, sentences, questions, thoughts. I'll sit in a chair, I'll grab my notebook, my pen, and I'll just start writing. I'll just start writing whatever comes to mind. I find a quiet place where I can be alone with my thoughts, and then I just start writing. Sometimes I'll just sit there. Sometimes I'll just sit there in silence for a while, and then things come to mind. I mean, for me, journaling, it's a form of prayer. Now, the questions that I'm asking, they're questions that I'm asking of God. There's prayers that are written all throughout this journal. The prayers that you have, I mean, be mindful of your prayers, because those, they're showing you what it is that's within your soul. They're showing you what's swirling around within there, the things that matter to you, the desires you have, the things that you care about. So journaling, it's how I listen. Other times, I've had some help listening, whether it's talking to a friend and just, you ever have a conversation with someone and you look at your watch, you think 5 minutes have gone by and you realize, whoa, it's been 2 hours, but you've gone to all sorts of different places. You've uncovered so many different layers within you. And you're like, man, what a conversation. They ask pointed questions and it just gets to the heart of what's going on within. So friends have helped me to listen. Talk therapy has helped to listen. Spiritual directors, whose only goal is not to give any advice, but simply to help you discern what the Spirit is already doing in your life. If you're a tabernacle, if you're carrying this Holy of Holies, this place where God meets with you, the Spirit's already at work in all of our lives. The task is to figure out, what is it that the Spirit is speaking? Where is the Spirit leading us? It starts with listening. And then let's talk about the two S's, which is very closely related to listening. The two S's, silence and solitude. You need moments of silence. And not just moments, you need large chunks of silence. Our schedules are so full. Our lives are, we just move from one meeting to the next, from one thing to the next. Very rarely do we have a chance to just sit and be still, to just be in silence. For me, another practice that I haven't engaged in as much as I used to, and I can feel it. I know that I'm missing this. I know the good that it does for my soul. I would go off into the woods by myself and go for a hike, whether it be for an hour or 2 hours. I would sit, there's one particular hiking trail that I would go to, and there's a bridge over a lake, and I would just sit there on the lake, and I would just be still, silent. It was just me. I mean, that's how I would start listening. You need to find a way to drown out all the other noise. Have you ever gone to a restaurant or a bar with a friend and you're so looking forward to this encounter because you haven't seen this friend in a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months. So you make plans. Friday night, you're going to go, you're going to meet at this joint over here. You get there and the place is hopping. It is crowded. So you go, you start having a conversation, but you realize a few minutes into it that you're having trouble hearing your friend. The music is really loud. There's all these other conversations going on in the space, and it's drowning out your intimate conversation. So after a while, after a couple of, wait, can you say that again? Speak up. I can't hear you over the music. I can't hear you over that guy over there who keeps yelling at his friend, you know? You decide that you're going to go find a quiet cafe where you can have a more intimate conversation. We all need to find a way to drown out all the other noise. that's incessantly going on around us at all times. Whether it's TV, the radio, other people, the voices in our heads, we need to find a way to be silent and to be alone with ourselves. I mean, think about Moses. When he would go to the Holy of Holies, when he would go commune with God, it was Moses. He didn't bring an entourage with him. It was simply Moses going by himself. And it was in that moment of solitude when God met him. Now, here's a third way to guard and protect your inner space. This one's called space. No, not space, the final frontier. I couldn't resist. A question. What are you allowing into your inner space? I mentioned when the Holy of Holies was in a temple, and it was the high priest who would go into the temple. The high priest, part of his attire, when he would go into the Holy of Holies, he would have bells on his feet. This actually reminds me of Carl, who plays the drums for us, because he got a couple of, mini cymbals that he puts on his feet. And whenever he walks back and forth in order to go up to the front to lead worship, or when he's done, or if I'm praying at the end and the worship team's coming back up, I can hear him walking up to the front because these bells or these cymbals, they keep banging together, making a noise. So the high priest, he would have these bells because the people, they would wait and they would listen. And if they heard the bells, they knew everything was okay. They knew the high priest was doing his thing. Things were good. But if the bells stopped, that's when they got worried, because they thought, ooh, maybe God had struck him down. Because maybe what the high priest was doing on the Day of Atonement, he was going to make sacrifices to atone for everyone's sins, including himself. They thought, well, maybe he didn't atone for his own sins. Maybe he was carrying something into the space that he shouldn't have been carrying in there. There's actually a legend that there was a rope attached to his foot as well, so if the bell stopped, they could just pull him out. Yeah, what are you carrying into your inner space with you? What are you carrying around with you? Is there any shame? Any regret? Guilt, pain, hurt? Is there any sin? Any darkness in your heart that you've allowed to just take up residence there? I mean, one of the ways to guard and protect our inner space is through confession. Acknowledging all that's in there, all that we've been carrying with us. It's being completely honest about everything. This is where I am. This is the pain that I've been carrying. This is how I've been wounded. This is what's closed my heart off to the divine. These are the behaviors, the sin that I haven't confessed, that I've been pushing to the back of the closet because I just don't want to deal with it. It's too messy. I'm too filled with regret over past mistakes. One of the ways that your inner space gets clouded over, gets dirtied up, is by carrying things with us and not dealing with them. So space, what are you bringing into the space with you? And then I would add another thing about space. Let's talk about people. Who are you allowing into your inner space? I heard a story recently. One of my friends, he said he was having a conversation with someone, with another good friend, and they got into an argument. And this wasn't an argument, wasn't a disagreement like, what's better, the Whopper or the Big Mac? This was one of those real serious disagreements. And he told me, he said, I don't think we're ever going to be able to have the same type of relationship that we did before, because I can no longer trust him. Yeah, your inner space, sacred. It's holy. be mindful of who you allow into that space with you. That space isn't for everyone. It's for those you trust, those that love you, those that have your back no matter what. If someone comes in, imagine someone coming into your house and they started picking up furniture and just tossing it everywhere. They went into the refrigerator, took the food out, they took plates out, they were throwing things up in the air, and then they just left. That's a picture of what happens when you allow someone into your inner space who doesn't respect the sacred parts of who you are. So the people you allow into your space, just as important as what you yourself are bringing into the space. Guard and protect your inner space. You are a holy, sacred, precious being. You must treat yourself that way. So that few thoughts on guarding and protecting your inner space. Do you see how important this is? Do you see how necessary this is? This is what allows you to be the type of person that you truly desire to be, the type of person that God desires for you to be, to have a close, intimate relationship with the divine, the one who sustains our lives and holds the whole thing together. So this week, my friends, may you guard and protect your inner space. May you be mindful of what you are bringing into the space. May you listen. May you hear what your soul is speaking. And as you do, may you be a calm, centered, grounded presence for yourself and for the rest of the world. And may you be able to clearly discern the voice of the Spirit, where the Spirit is leading you in your life, so that you may move forward into life in all of its fullness. Grace and peace to you this week.